Begin the current time, Sechtes of Adizar Dav Zayin. Begin on the bottom of Vav and Beis, four lines up in the bottom of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous Dav, which was discussing the Machlekes in our Mishnah. Although we mentioned one cannot do business and borrow and lend with a non-Jew 3 days before his pagan holiday, however, there was Machlekes, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chacham, regarding if one can collect from the non-Jew. And that is, the Chacham say it's forbidden, because although it's painful now, but he's happy that he got rid of the debt that he owed, and therefore he will go and give thanks, possibly to his deity, which is forbidden. Yehuda said no, he's very limited, he only sees the marshmallow in front of him right now, he doesn't see the greater gain later on, and therefore it's total pain for him, and therefore one could collect from him within those 3 days. That continues the Gemara and says, Masnit nulaykir b'shubin karcha. And those two opinions that are mentioned on Mishnah are neither like this third opinion that mentioned of b'shubin karcha. Tanakh Luna Brais b'shubin karcha, I mean, he says, depends actually what type of a debt it is. He says, Milva b'shtar, if it's a loan that's recorded in the document, then ein nefron man. Then one cannot collect from them before their holiday, because then he will rejoice at a later point in time on his holiday, because since there was a document recorded that he owed the money to the Jew, so at every single moment he's afraid that maybe he's going to have to pay up the debt, and therefore he is glad that he finally got rid of that, and therefore that's forbidden. But Milva Alpen, the front man, and this is where he differentiates, he says, but if it's an oral loan, then one is allowed to collect from the non-Jew even within 3 days of his holiday. Because it's like saving from their hands, where if you don't collect it, he might deny it at a later point in time, you might never get your money. So although it's within 3 days and we run into that concern of them giving their thanks to their deity, but to save the money of Jews, one is allowed to do that. Now, related to this teaching of Rabbi Shimon Karcha, Yosef Rabbi Yisuf Achered Rabbah. Rabbi Yisuf was sitting behind Rabbah. But Yosef Rabbah Kamed Rav Huna, and Rabbah was sitting in front of Rav Huna. The Yosef Akama, and he was sitting and he was saying, Hilchasar Gib Shubin Karcha. He said two halachas. He says, first halacha of Asgib Shubin Karcha. And he said, Vahilchasar Gib Yehuda. What are these two teachings? So Hilchasar Gib Yeshua is Hadamar, like we just said. Not like the two opinions recorded in our Mishnah. Rather, it depends what type of a loan is it. Milva Bishtar, one is not allowed to collect from them within the 3 days, and an oral loan, one is allowed to. When he said that Allah is Krib Yehuda, what was that referring to? Tanakh Luna Braisa, which is actually a Mishnah Baba Kama. Mishnah says, Hanoisin Tzemer Litzava. Someone gives wool to a dyer, and he tells him, Litzvoyla Adam, he wants him to dye that piece of wool red. Now, he doesn't do that. Vitzavay Shachar, instead, the dyer dyed it black. Or, Shachar wants him to dye it black, and Vitzavay Adam, instead, he dyes it red. So it continues the Gemara on top of Zayin and Aleph, and we have a Machlekes in that Mishnah. Rmei Oimi says, Noisin Loi, the dyer gives to the owner of the wool, Demei Tzamrei, the value of the wool itself as it was originally in its white, pure state, if he wants to. Meaning, Rmei holds that when the person, when the professional deviated, the dyer deviated from what the intentions of the owner was, at that point in time, he's already a robber, where he's doing something inappropriate to that person's object, and he has acquired the wool from when he starts dyeing it the wrong color with a shina by changing from what the owner had it, the item, as the Gemara explains above a common paragraph. So therefore, he gets to keep the wool for himself, even though it's worth more now than what originally was, because he dyed it now. Obviously, you have a plain piece of wool, you dye it, it's more than just the wool and the dye together, it becomes a whole new item. Still, he gets to keep that because he was like a robber, and he has to just give back the wool itself that he stole. Yehuda, I mean, he disagrees. He says, no, if that would be the case, it would come out that the dyer would be gaining with the inappropriate change that he made to the piece of wool, and he'd be gaining from that sin. Rather, he has, according to Yehuda, has the lower hand, and that depends. Im hashvach, if the gain, which the wool now went up in price, is Yeser al Yitzia, is worth more than the expenses that the dyer used to use on the wool, then Noisin Loi, then the owner of the wool gives to the dyer, he gives him Eser Yitzia. He only gives him the expenses that he spent on his wool, which is the dye and the wood and the effort that he put in like a regular worker, and he doesn't pay him the full amount like he had originally stipulated how much he's going to give him to go ahead and dye this wool because he did it the wrong color. Now, Vim HaYitzia Eser al Hashvach, and if the expenses are more money than what the profit, than the value of the wool went up, then Noisin Loi Hashvach, he gives him the lower one, he gives him the profit. Either way, he gives him the lower of the two. So, and that's what he said, the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. Not like Rameh, who says that the dyer gets to keep that, the higher value, in all situations, and give him back only the value of his wool. Now, when Rav Yosef was sitting behind Rav Abba, heard this, what Rav Abba was saying to Rav Huna, Adrinu Rav Yosef La'apir, Rav Yosef turned his face away. And his problem was as follows. Bishlam halacha gibishu ben karcha. He said, it could understand that why your Baba had to tell us that halacha vaz gibishu ben karcha, where that one is allowed to collect from the non-Jew within 3 days of the holidays when it's an oral loan, itzrich. We understand why it was necessary for him to tell us that halacha gibishu ben karcha. I would have thought to say, yachad v'rabim, when you have an individual tana, gibishu ben karcha, fighting against, in halacha, against all the other chachamim, like the Tana Kama of our Mishnah. So, generally, halacha karab, halacha falls like the majority, kamash malan, halacha giyachid. That's what he, Rabbi had to tell us, that in this situation, that no, we follow like Mishum and Karcha. El halacha kribi Yehuda lamali, but to tell us halacha falls like Yehuda in his machligis with your mayor, that recorded from the Mishnah Baba Kama, why do we even have to say that? Pshita is obvious. Why is it obvious? Because the machligis, you have it quoted first, in a Mishnah Baba Kama in Perek HaGezel, that it's a machlekes Rabbi Meir b'Yehuda. Va'achakach stam, and then the Tana anonymously tells us that, like Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, in the Mishnah Baba Metzia. Now, whenever you have a machlekes, which is disagreed between Tanoim, and then you have an anonymous Mishnah later on, like one of them, halchasa kistam, we always know halacha follows like that opinion, which is said anonymously. Because since Rabbi Yehuda Anasi said anonymously after the machlekes was already quoted, obviously it's because the rabbis agreed on the reasoning and said that the logical halacha would be like that opinion. And here we have machlekes Baba Kama, which is the first Masechta, that they disagree. And we have it anonymously in Baba Metzia. It's not like Linda Mishnah Baba Metzia that says, Kol Mashana, whoever deviates from what was the norm, Yodei Al Tachtoni has the lower hand. And so to B'chol HaChayzer, but whoever retracts, Yodei Al Tachtoni has the lower hand. So we see from that first halacha, we hear the dyer is what deviated from the stipulation. So that's the lower hand. That's Rabbi Yehuda's halacha. Why do you have to even tell me halacha falsik Rabbi Yehuda? Says the Gemara, but Rav Huna, who felt it was an important halacha, Mishum de'ein seder le'mishnah. He held that there's no order for the precision of the Mishnaic text, where it's not necessarily precise. Maybe the later Mishnah, that in Baba Metzia, was actually taught first in the Beis HaMedrash, where the Ikal Memi, you could say, Sasam Tana Bereish. Maybe the first one taught was the anonymous one. V'achikach Machlekes. Maybe the later one was Machlekes. Then you don't have necessarily to say that they anonymously said the second one later to say that the halacha would be like that. So we have to tell you halacha is like a Behuda. And that has to Gemara, Ihachi, if that's the case, then kol machlekes v'achkach stam. What do you mean? Then whenever you have a machlekes in the Mishnah, and then later on it said anonymously, lay main say to the Mishnah, you should say, well, who knows what's the order of the Mishnayis? So why did we say in Yivamis, and daf men beizim and beiz, that whenever you have machlekes v'achkach stam, halachas like stam, when do you ever know which one was the achakach to say that that's the second one, the anonymous, to say that halachas like that? To which the Gemara answers, no, Rav Huna, Ki lo yaminan ein seder, when do we not say that there is no order, rather that we do rely on the order? That's b'chad mesechta. In one mesechta, yeah, there is an order for the Mishnayis, and in one mesechta, it's machloik is v'achkach stam. Of course, everyone would agree that halacha would be like the stam. But betray mesechti aminan. But in two mesechtas, we do say that there's no order. Here, the anonymous one was in Baba Metzia, and the machloikis one was in Baba Kama. Although in Mesechtis, Baba Metzia comes after Baba Kama, but since they're two different Mesechtis, it could be that the order of the Mishnayis was different, and that we can't say Machlekes v'achkach stam, and that's why we have to tell you Halachas like a Behuda. Whereas Rav Yosef, he said, even if I agree to that concept, but Kula Nezikin, all of the what's called Mesecht Nezikin, which is actually the three Babas, that's why it's called Baba Kama, Baba Metzia, Baba Basa, Baba is the order. The first one, Metzia, is the middle one, the Basra is the last one, Chad Mesechti, it's all one Mesechta. So therefore, if you have the Machlekes in Baba Kama and you have the Stama in Baba Metzia, therefore you will say Stam Achach Machlekes and Machlekes Vachach Stam, and that's why he was bothered. Why do you even have to say Halachas like Behuda? Or if you want, you could say the reason why Rav Yosef turned his face away, because even if you'll say, like the Gemara had said for Rav Huna, that Ein Sei De La Mishnah, you still didn't have to say Halachas like Behuda. Because most definitely halacha is like that anonymous Mishnah Baba Metzia, even if it's not machlekes v'achkach stam. Mishum diktoni lo gabe hilchas pesikta, because it's said in the order of a Mishnah. In that same Mishnah, it talks about things which are clearly paskin halachas, where it says kol mashana yod al tachtoin. It says whoever changes, he has the lower hand. V'chalachozim by whoever backs out, yod al tachtoin has the lower hand. Where all those halachas, they don't pertain what the topic over there in Perek HaSeicher and Baba Metzia is even talking about. It's not talking about deviations. It's talking about backing out. For the fact that it says it over there in the Mishnah, obviously it's because it wants to just tell you halachas that share that common denominator, b'yadal tachtayna, and it's not just telling it to us, it's telling it to us because that's the halacha psuka. So therefore, even if you say that that Mishnah came before the machlokes one, this Mishnah is still telling us what's the halacha, and that's why Rav Yosef held it was obvious, halachas like Yehuda, and we didn't have to say that halachas like Yehuda. A similar type of a discussion regarding that we said that one of the things that he had said was halachas like Rabbi Shimon Karcha. So similarly, Taraban went to a braisa regarding a different halacha that also we say halachas like Rabbi Shimon Karcha. The braisa says from the Tanna Kamma, lo yema adam lachaver, a person should not tell his friend on Shabbos, hanira shetamet imi le'erv, shall we see if you're going to stand with me here in the evening? Meaning he was insinuating that he wants him to work with him later after Shabbos, which Nishtav Shabbos Kered, one is not allowed to talk about Malacha on Shabbos. So it says the Tanna Kamma, you're not allowed to say that because you're insinuating you're talking about work and you're not talking about work on Shabbos. Now, Rabbi Shimon Karchaimer, he says, no, Aimer Adam Lechaveir, a person could tell his friend, Hanira Shetamat Imi Le'ev, let's see if you're going to stand with me here in the evening. Now, the reason for that is, as the Gemara says over there, it's permitted is because, as the Gemara says in Shabbos, Avkof Nun, although speech of Malacha is forbidden on Shabbos, but a hearer thought is permitted. So although they're both thinking the same idea, but no one's actually verbalizing it, and therefore it's permitted. Now, Amr Rabba Babachana, Amr Bi'ichan, he says, Hilchas to Gibeshu Ben Karcha, Allah Chafaz to Gibeshu Ben Karcha. So to a different machlekes, that again, we say the same idea. Turn about and learn the braisa. Hanishal Lachachem B'timeh. If someone asks a shayla to a sage, and he says that this thing is tame, so lo yishal Lachachem Yitar, you can't ask another sage who's then going to say it's pure. So to Lachachem O'asav, you ask a sage, what's the Allah? And he says, it's forbidden. Lo yishal Lachachem Yitar, you can't ask another sage who's then is going to say that's permitted. Now, let's say Hayishnaim, let's say there was two there at the time. And Echad Metame Be'echad Metar, one guy says it's Tame, and one Rav says it's Tame, one says that it's Tar. Or Echad Oysa Be'echad Matar, one says it's forbidden, one says it's permitted. One of them is greater than his colleague in wisdom and in number, then you go after him. If not, then you go after the most stringent of the two. Rabbi Shimon Karchaim, he says, no, it depends. Bishal Tari, regarding biblical law, you go after the most stringent one. Bishal Seifim, regarding rabbinic law, halach achar mekel, you go after the more lenient opinion. And on Rav Yosef, it says, halachas agib shu ben karcha, halach afaz agib shu ben karcha. So too, the Gemara says, Tarnabon, learn the Braisa, also that the halacha is going to be like agib shu ben karcha, says, v'kulan, and there's a going on regarding halacha, that we don't believe robbers and ignoramuses regarding certain halachas, but says the Braisa, regarding all those individuals, shechaz jubahen, if they repent, however, in spite of that, the first opinion says, we do not ever receive them to presume them to be like what's called chaveim, which are scholars that have a high level of scrupulosity regarding to Jewish law, to rely on them. That's Divrei Meir. Now, Rabbi Yehuda, he says, that could depend. He says, chaz debhen b'mayniyos, if they repent in private. So then, ein mekabel nois, and then, yeah, we don't receive them to believe them. But if they make an open repentance in public, then we do receive them to go to the status of being even like people that we rely on them halachically. Igadame, those say a different version that it's asu divrayim. If the sins that they had committed up until now were b'matmanias, were secret sins, then we do receive them in their repentance to get to the level of a chavim. However, as we tend to have with Zayin Mabez, b'fahesya, if they had sinned publicly, and since they were so flagrant in their offenses, then they're never really going to bring their hearts to full repentance, and therefore, Ema Kabbalah, we never receive them in to be reliant in certain areas of Jewish law. They say, no, Benkach or Benkach Makabim, in either situation, if the person repents, we do accept him to be on the level of a chaver. Like it says the pasuk in Yirmiyah, Shuvu banim shevavim, return, O wayward sons. The word shevavim sounds like someone who did it deliberately and out in the open, which is a terminology of rebellion and of arrogance, as the pasuk says in Yeshayin and Zayin, v'yelech shevav b'derech libi, goes with an arrogance. And still you see that shuvu banim, that they could repent. And Amr B'Yitzchak ish kvar akoy, Amr B'yechan and Hilchas HaKoyis HaZug, the halacha falls like that pier, which again includes Yibishu Mekarcha, that a person in all situations, if he repents, we accept him as a chaver. Now the Gemara continues with the next mission in our Masechta. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, he says that this prohibition that we said in the opening mission of our Masechta, that before the holidays, the pagan holidays of the idolaters, is forbidden to do business with them and other things, he says it's Shleishu Lefneim, it's 3 days before the holiday, u'Shleishu L'Achrei Masar, and 3 days after is also forbidden. The Chacham say that no, lifnei dein aser, before the holiday it's forbidden, la'achar dein muta, after the holiday it's going to be permitted. Amr of Tachlivi by Avdimi Amr Shmuel, we quoted this halacha in the previous daf. He says, Yim echad ledivri Rabbi Shmuel, comes out according to the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, that the prohibition is always 3 days before and 3 days after. So those idolaters that every Sunday is their holidays, so then lo'ayla maser will always be forbidden to ever do business with those idolaters, because you have the 3 days before Sunday, 3 days after Sunday, and the Sunday itself, which is a holiday, that's all the 7 days of the week. It's always forbidden to do business with them. Now, the Mishnah said, v'chacham ayimim, they disagree. They say, no, lifnei eidein aser, not like Rabbi Shmuel. It's only before the holiday it's forbidden, v'l'achar dein muter, but after the holiday it's going to be permitted, chulu. Now, ask the Gemara, chacham hayin tana kama. The chacham of our Mishnah are the first Tana, which was mentioned on the first Mishnah in Masechta, that they said clearly that it's only before the holiday and not after. So what are these chacham adding on to the tana kama of the first Mishnah of our Masechta? So the Gemara has a few different approaches. The difference would be regarding if the prohibition is 3 days besides the holiday itself. Tanakama Savar Hein Beloy Day. The Tanakama, the first Tana, the Tana of the first Mishnah in the Masechta, holds that the 3 days is without counting the holiday itself. As we had actually made the Deek on the previous staff in Vav Med Aleph, where the wording was Lefnei Eidehin Shalev Dikachav Shleish Yom, that before the holiday it's forbidden 3 days, which the inference is that it's 3 days besides the holiday. Whereas Rabban Basroi, the later Rabban, I mean the Chacham that I mentioned in our Mishnah, who do not give any signs, you could say that since we don't really find anything that they disagree about, it would make sense to say that it's regarding this point that they disagree, that Savri they hold Hein Vei Dehen. No, the 3 days that's prohibited includes the holiday itself, which is only 2 days before plus the holiday. Or Iba, you say more if you want, you could say, Nasa ben Nasa Nikibanai, the difference between them is if someone violates this law and does business transaction with them 3 days before the holiday. Tanakama Sabah Nasam Nasam Mutta. The first Tana would hold that if one did the business dealings after the fact, that the benefit is permitted. Rabban Basroi Sabri Nasam Nasam Asr. And the Chacham of Amish would hold that no, after the fact, if someone did business with them, it would be prohibited, because they just say anonymously. They just say the word Asr. They don't say Asr losses velosses like the Tanakama said, which sounds like, yeah, one shouldn't, but if one did after the fact, it would be permitted. No, they say Asr, which sounds like, even after the fact, it's going to be prohibited. Or v'yibayisim, or if you want, you could say, the Shmuel ekebenayim, a third approach, that the halach of Shmuel is the difference between these two tanoim. The Amar Shmuel had said, begoyla, in exile, in the diaspora, where the idol worshippers are not really so attached to their idols. Like the Gemara says, Ahulin, that evdikachav mechutz laretz, the idol worshippers out of Eretz Yisrael, are not real idol worshippers. Moreover, for another reason, Shmuel's halacha is that we're also afraid of them because we're in exile, we're at their mercy. So Shmuel said, for those two reasons, ein asa elu yom edem. The only prohibition of doing business with them is going to be on their holiday itself, because they're not such zealous idol worshippers that even 3 days before it's going to make an impact. And also because we're afraid, if we don't do business for such a long time, it might cause their hatred. Now, regarding that halacha of Shmuel, that Tanakama is le de Shmuel. The first Tan holds like Shmuel, where it's only for 1 day when we're in Galus. And Rabban Basroi, less Lidushmul, but the later Rabban don't hold of his halacha. In other words, that since there's really nothing clear that we could say is the difference between these two opinions, so we could say that the second opinion is coming to add on to the Isser, where the Tanakama told us that before the holiday it's forbidden to do business with them. So now we could assume that it's only talking about when the idol worshippers don't have any control over us. And on that, they're saying that, so before the holiday, it's going to be forbidden. But when they do have control over us, when we're in exile, then the Tanakam would say, okay, then it's only forbidden with the holiday itself. But the Chacham would be adding on, saying, no, in all situations, it's forbidden. Because as Rashi points out, to say the opposite, and to say that, no, it's the Tanakam who says that even Golus is forbidden 3 days, and the Chacham of our Mishnah say that it's going to be only the holiday itself, that's not appropriate, because generally, as the Gemara says above Vasta, it's the later Tan who comes to add on. So we would say that Tanakama says that in Golis would only be the holiday, and the Chacham Basroi are adding on even in Golis would be forbidden 3 days before. Or Iboisim, if you want to say a fourth approach. The Nochem Hamadi, Ikebenai, the difference between them is the opinion of Nochem Hamadi. Nochem from Media. The time like when the Bryce of Nochem Hamadi, he says, in Asa Eliyem Echelefnei Yedei, and he says that the prohibition is only 1 day before the holiday. Tanakama, less late than Nochem Hamadi, Tanakama says clearly 3 days before, disagrees with him. For Rabban Basroi, Islu de Nachum Madi, the later Rabban, meaning the Chacham of our Mishnah, do hold of the Halacha of Nachum because they don't give a calculation, they don't give a number. They don't say 3 days before, they just say Lifnei Edei Nasser. That's only forbidden before and not after. But how much before they don't say, we could say it's like Nachum Madi where it's only going to be for one day. Now, once we mentioned this Halacha of Nachum Madi, so the Gemara gets into discussion of that and his other teachings. Gufo, we learned, which we just quoted, Nachum Madi, I mean, he says, Eina Asa Eloyim Ech Lifnei Edei. It's only prohibited one day before the holiday and not three. Now, Amrloi, they said to him, Nishtake Hadavar, this halacha, this idea is submerged, is squelched, V'lai Nemer, and it's not said. Either it means that no one ever said such an opinion, or this opinion will never get out because it's going to die right here. This opinion is not going on. We're not granting validity to this opinion. And that is the Gemara. Why? Vikra Rabban Basroi, the Kama Kaba say, we have the Rabban of our Mishnah, who we just in the last Tered said, holds like Nachum Madi. So why is it like no one ever said this? Says the Gemara, Man Chacham, who is Chacham of our Mishnah? It's Nachum Madi, who it is him himself, who's that Tana, and he's the only one that says such a thing, and therefore the Chacham said no one ever said such a thing, and we're not letting this opinion move on past that. Similar discussion. Tanya Yiduch learned another braisa. Nachum Madi, he says, Meichin lehen sus zacher v'zakin b'melchama. We're allowed to sell to non-Jews an old male horse at wartime. Why? Because although generally it is forbidden to sell large animals to non-Jews, in this situation, first of all, the horse is only going to get ruined in wartime. Moreover, it's an uncommon situation, and therefore it's not going to become a situation we're going to come to learn out from there to think that we could sell other animals to non-Jews. Because although the rabbis say one's not allowed to sell a large animal to non-Jews, that was only because of a rabbinic concern that we might come then to lend them animals or lease it out to them, as the Gemara says on Daf Tezvav Med Aleph. And the problem with that is that there's something called Shvisis Behemtai. Since the animal is still owned by the Jew in the case of loaning or renting, one's not allowed to have his animal work on Shabbos, which the non-Jew would still work it. Now, this situation, said Nachum Madi, it's an uncommon situation, and as we always know in Talmudic law, an uncommon situation, the rabbis did not make such a decree. On that halacha, Amorle, they said to him, Nishtakeh hadav v'le nemer, nothing like this was ever said, and let it die over here. This is not a halach of a valid opinion. That is the Gemara, but v'ikah ben Meseir, the Koi Kavah say, but why? It's not like no one ever said such a thing. But Meseir says, just like him. Does not we learn in the Mishnah, which is brought later on, the Yudalim and Beis, Ben Beseira Matir Besus, Ben Beseira permits one to sell a horse to a non-Jew, because since the whole entire work that a horse does is to have people ride on the horse, even if a non-Jew would work with the horse on Shabbos, would not be a Chiv Chatas as real work, because the animal who carries the person, a living person carries himself. It's not like even like you're carrying the person. As the Mishnah says in Masechtas Beya, the whole prohibition of riding a horse on Shabbos is not even because of Shvisa Behemtai. It's only because one might come to rip off a branch as he's riding on the horse. So Ben Meseir permits selling a horse. So Nachum Madi, who is even qualifying, saying not even every horse, why are we saying Halacha is not like him if Ben Meseir says the same idea? Says the Gemara, no. Ben Meseira, loy maflik bein schar melin akevis. Ben Meseira's opinion doesn't differentiate if it's a male horse, a female horse, whether it's an old horse or a young horse. He permits all types of horses. He doesn't hold this a problem at all. Now, ihu ben Nachum Madi, medukom maflik bein schar melin akevis, from the fact that he does differentiate if it's a male horse or a female horse, and he says it's forbidden if it's a young horse, he only permits an older horse because it's going to get ruined anyway. But since he does differentiate, obviously Rabbanan severely. Obviously he holds a Rabbanan that says it is forbidden because it's considered like weapons, which is going to kill in wartime, as the Gemara says later on over there. So since he's not like Ben Becerra, he's obviously going in the opinion of the Rabbanan. But he's saying in certain cases the Rabbanan would agree it's permitted, and that is what they told him. Well, the Rabbanan nishtakeh hadaver. In regards to the Ben Rabbanan, that opinion is moot, where it's to say that it's permitted by an elderly horse, like he said, like Nachum said, on that they said, no, all horses are forbidden according to Rabbanan. Well, it was never said in Rabbanan to say that any types of horse would be permitted. Similarly, another discussion like this, Tan Loin Nabraisa, Nachum Amadi Oimer, he says, Hasheves, which is a type of herb that's used as a spice called dill, Misasir, it's one takes meiser, tithes, whether that the dill was picked from the ground, whether in the state of zera, meaning if it was left till it's till it was so hard already, the dill, that it already has seeds that grew inside of it, which then they bang out the dill and you get the seeds out from that. Still in that situation, one has to tithe the seeds rabbinically, or v'yerek, or if it's in the state of as a herb, or v'zirin, or which is in the state when it's the branches are moist. And that is because Nachum Madi holds that it's normal to consume dill, whether when it got so hard that it has seeds, or if it's in the herb state, or when it's like moist branches. And therefore, in all of them, the halacha is that it's considered the conclusion of the pre, which is obligated rabbinically in Maiser. Which Amar Lo, they said to him, no, nishtakeh hadav le'nemer, this is not even open for discussion, this was never said like this, halacha is not mentioned like you. That is the Gemara, but v'ikar b'laz the koy kabasei, but this Rebbe Eliezer who does say like him, that na'an b'lin the Mishnah Maseches Maaseh, that actually says exact like him. Rebbe Eliezer, oimei, he says, ha'shebes, the dill, misaseres, is tithed, zera v'yerek v'zirin, in any one of those three states. So why are we saying that nishtakeh hadav le'nemer? Says the Gemara, no, hasam b'digun nisa. Rebbe Eliezer told me a case where the dill grew in a garden. Garden variety is fit to be eaten in Zera, Yerek, and Zirin. But the ones that grow in the fields, that's not eaten as a herb. Only when it grows seeds, like mustard, which the whole utility of the plant is for the seeds. And therefore, the halacha was never like Nachum Amadi. Now, Amalei Rav Acha bar Min Yumi L'Abayi says, Gavu Rabba Osa Ma'asun, a great man came from our place, meaning from Madai, where he comes from, and Kalmisa Na'ama, whatever he said, like we just quoted in the Gemara, a few examples, Amalei Nishtakeh Adav L'Nema, they tell him, no, yeah, what you're saying is not appropriate, but not appropriate, not appropriate. How is that possible? Everything he says, they just disregard. So Amar, so Abayi said to him, no, don't worry, Ikachadud Abdin Kavasei, there is one halacha that we do like Nachum Amadi, they're trying to learn the Braisa. Nachum Amadi Aimer, he says, Shoyl Adam Tzracha B'Shemeya Tefillah. A person could ask for his needs in the bracha of Shemeya Tefillah, where he could lengthen that bracha and ask for whatever he needs over there regarding that, the halacha is like him. On that, Amar, so Rav Acha ben Yumi responded to Abayi, says, Barmin Adahi, except for that example. The Talya Ba'ashli Ravavi, that halacha is contingent on either means on some thick and strong ropes, or some say it means large trees, like Vayita Eshel, which is regarding planting a tree. In other words, it's not like him that you're doing over there when you say, you could say your Tzrochem Shemeya Tefillah, because that's a big Machlekes Rabbanan, as the Gemara is about to quote, and therefore it's like those Rabbanan that you're saying, but it's not uniquely his opinion that you're going like. To kind of like learn the Braisa, Rabbi Yezayim, he says, Shoyl Adam Tzrochem Ba'achar Kach Yispal. The person first asks for his needs, and then he davens Shemayin Esrei. Shemayin Esrei says, the pasuk in Tehillim, it says, Tfilah la'oni kiyata, the prayer of a pauper when he envelops himself, meaning the enveloping of his soul and the worries of his heart, that he should pray for first, because the word atifa is also terminology of pain and opening up the person's own heart out of difficulties. Like it says, the pasuk in Eichab, it's atfam kechol, it's enveloping of like a sick person. And then the pasuk says, "V'lefnei Hashem yishpech sicha v'gayim." And in front of Hashem, he should pour out his talk, meaning which that refers to the Shemayin Esrei. How do we know that? Because ain't sicha l'tefillah. That the terminology of sicha, that talk, refers to prayer. Just like it says the pasuk in Bereishis, it says, "V'yetsa Yitzchak l'such basada," that Yitzchak went out to talk in the field, which was, as the Gemara in Brachas tells us, Daf Chavav Mebeis, that he instituted the tefillah of mincha. So you see that first comes him talking out his difficulties, his challenges, like it says, kiyatav, and then, sicha, then he davens. Yeshua, he says, no, the other way around. Yispal v'achach yeshul tzrachim. First person should first daven shemin esrei, and then ask for his needs. Shalom, like it says, the pasuk in Tehillim. Eshbech lefon of sichi, I pour in front of him my siach, which we say that means tefillah, and then, sarasi lefon of agad, my pain in front of him I say. So you see, it's the other way around. No, so the Gemara asks on each opinion. Rebbe Eliezer, Nami Oksiv Eshbech Lefan of Sichi, what does he do with this pasuk that seems to say that tefillah comes first, and then only Tzeras Lefan of Agad? So it's the Gemara, no, Hachi, come in this, the way you should read the pasuk. Eshbech Lefan of Sichi, I pour in front of him my tefillah, I damage my essay, when, Bizman Shet Tzeras Lefan of Agad, when I have already went and said my pain and difficulty in front of him, already from beforehand. Now the Gemara is the same thing. Rebbe Shuah Namik says Tefillah on the Kiyatev. What does he do with the other pasuk that seems to indicate that first he says his tzaras and what he needs, and only then does he daven lefnei Hashem yishpach sicha? So the Gemara here the same type of answer. Achikam, and this is what the pasuk is saying. Emesai Tefillah on the. When does the person say his needs? Bismach lefnei Hashem yishpach sicha. Only if he had already went and davened beforehand. So the Gemara says, "Amechti." Let's see. Krai, the psukim that both that we brought down for both them, loikemar daiki, loikemar daiki. Neither one is precise like either opinion, because like we said, each one's going to explain the pasuk either way. So then, but my kamifli, regarding what are they disagreeing? Why does one say you daven first and then ask yitzrochem, and the other one says no, you ask yitzrochem and then you daven? Says the Gemara, the darsh Reb Simloi. It's continuing on what Reb Simloi said, because the darsh Reb Simloi he expounded. A person should always first organize and put in order the praise of Hashem and be wowed by Hashem, which are the first three brachas of Avos, Gevuros, and Kedushas Hashem, which doesn't have any prayer and request. It only talks about the praise of Hashem. And then he should pray the other brachas, which have in it supplication and prayer and request, which is a person so wowed by Hashem in reality that he wants to get all in and says, Hashem, give me some of that. Menolim, where do we know that's from? Me Moshe Rabbeinu. Just like it says the pasuk in Devarim, first Moshe Rabbeinu says, Hashem Lakim, Hashem, God, Atah, Eloyis, Laharis, as Avdecha Begam, you started showing to your servant, as the pasuk says, your greatness, your mighty hand, and you talk about the awesomeness of Hashem, Hashem, you're amazing. Uksib Basri, after he spoke about the Shvach, then it says, his request. Ebrina, let me go over Ve'eres, Arat Zatayva, and see this good land. He wanted to get into Eretz Yisrael. So you see, first Shvach, first Shemayin Esrei, and then you make the request of your needs that you want. Now, so regarding that teaching, as it contains some of Chesem and Aleph, that's their machlekes. Rabbi Shua Saber Yalfin Memoshe, he says that, yeah, you learn that from Moshe Rabbeinu, that first organize the praise, which is, therefore, you daven Shemayin Esrei, which starts off at Shvach in the beginning, and then you ask for your request later on. Rabbi Lazar Saber Lo Yalfin Memoshe says, no, you can't learn that from Moshe. Kashani Moshe, the Rav Gurvi, Moshe Rabbeinu is different because of his might, which was so great, meaning that his actions and his wisdom was on such a high level, for him it's appropriate to first talk about the praise and the awesomeness of Hashem and talk about the greatness of the King of all kings, and then to say, Hashem, I get it, you're amazing, because he does get it, because he's on such a high level, and then ask for what he needs. But a regular person, Rabbi Lazar Hall said, no, it looks like arrogance, as if he gets Hashem, and he says, therefore he wants it. You don't. So first ask for what you need, and then pray. The sages say, not like Rabbi Lazar and not like Rabbi Yeshua. Third opinion. Rather, not before and not after, but rather you ask for your needs in the bracha of Shemei Tfilah, which that was like Nochem, and therefore he said, don't give me this consolation as if there's one halacha like him. It's not like him, it's like the chacham that you're following when you say, halacha is you ask for Yitzrachim and Shemei Tfilah. And I'm going to read the Mishmuel. He says, halacha shayil odin tzrachim b'shmei tefillah. That is the halacha that a person could ask for his needs in the bracha b'shmei tefillah. Now, on that says the Gemara, I'm going to read the Mishmuel bar shilas b'shmei derav. Afa pisha amru, even though they said, shayil odin tzrachim b'shmei tefillah, a person could ask for his needs in the bracha b'shmei tefillah, which is the last of the brachas of the request before you get the last three brachas of thanks. Aval im bo loimer, but if a person does come to say, b'seiv kol bracha bracha, at the end of every individual bracha of the middle brachas of Shemayin Esrei, me'ein kol bracha bracha, similar to what that bracha itself is talking about. Let's say someone kept on forgetting his learning. So he lengthened the bracha of Chayin Hadas, which asks Hashem to give that gift of understanding. Or if he's a Baal Tshuva, someone that's repenting, so he lengthens the bracha of Haraitz B'Tshuva, and so too regarding all brachas, Aymer, then he could do it like that too. In that bracha, insert something related to that bracha itself. So to Amr B'chiyah Bar Asher Maravi says, Afa Pisha Amr, even though they said, Shayil Adam Tzrachim B'Shemei Tefillah, which is a really all-inclusive. A person can ask for his needs in the bracha of Shemei Tefillah, that Hashem hears all prayer. But Im Yesh L'Chayil B'Tech Beisi, that's someone who has a specific, unique need. He has an ill person in his house. Then he could say his request, as many Siddurim have, a blessing for the sick person specifically in that bracha of Rifa'enu. And so to Vimtzarach Lepanasa, if he needs sustenance, you can say it in that bracha itself of the blessing of Parnasa, of blessing in regards to sustenance in the bracha of Baruch Eleinu. Now, Amr B'Shuman Levi says, so to Ava B'Sha Amr Shayil Adon Tzarach B'Shmei Tefillah, although they said that a person can ask for his needs in the bracha of B'Shmei Tefillah, Aval, that's only if you're not relenting too much. Aval in Baloimer, Acher Tefillasa, but if someone wants to come and say after his whole entire prayer, we're by Yil Ratzin, Afilik Yisaydi Yimikipurim, even as long as the organized Tefillah of Yimikipurim, which is very long, we're in Shul the whole day, Oimer, that at the end of his davening, that he could say whatever he wants over there at the end, so that's the different orders that we're saying, where one could say in Shemei Tefillah, or one could say in each individual bracha related to that bracha, but if one really wants to talk to Hashem in his organized fashion of tefillah, then at the end of his tefillah, then he could say whatever he wants and talk to Hashem like a child talking to his father.